You're about to listen to A Nod Your Nod by Pastor A.B. Prepare your hearts and you'll never remain the same again. God bless you, Jonas.
All right, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we have been talking. I want to read two major scriptures for you. And then we'll talk a bit about them and then we'll close. All right, at least for today. Two major scriptures. But early in the morning, we talked about three things, right, that we should avoid to ensure that we are excellent ministers. Three things. And these three things doesn't begin with leadership. As a Christian, these are three things that you should avoid. Faithlessness. You live your life to please God. He made you for His pleasure. And you don't have a say because He made you. Do you understand? Yes. So you can't say, why can't I just be myself? You're a rebel. He made you. And the one who makes you or made you has the right to tell you how to live that life. All right? So He made us for His pleasure. But the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so Jesus said, faithless generations can't bring forth power, and so they cannot do ministry effectively. And we learned that for that not to be your story, you have to receive the word, right?
Yes, Pastor.
You have to receive the word. And the most important time of receiving the word is your own personal time. That's when the word of God communicates with you. You know, the word of God has eyes. The word of God is alive. Don't mind that it looks like a book that is gathering dust, right? When you open it, the word is alive. The Bible says, all things are unveiled under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. That's in Hebrews 4. So the word has eyes. And what that means is when you open the word, it searches you. That is beautiful. You see, so you're not reading an ordinary book. When you open the word, it searches you. So while you're looking into the word is looking into you. If you had a problem, and you open the word because of that problem, it's going to get into you. And the best part is, Bible says, the word of God is living. Then it says, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. So one of the things you can be sure the word of God does is to cut out the wrong stuffs, right? Cut it out. It says, Father prunes. So the word prunes. And so when you open the word, looking at the word, it cuts out unproductive stuffs, right? And some people look at the word and all they see is arguments and confusion. Why? Because the word of God looks at you when you look at it. If you open the word of God so that you can argue, you're going to find that. It's going to be a dead book to you. Are we together? You have atheists who read the Bible and they don't get anything. Why? It's a dead book to them. The word, listen, remember, God is not obligated to show Himself. Do you know? He's not. And that's why He's God. He's not obligated. You can't say, prove yourself now. He's not. All right? He's not going to be moved. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He's not obligated. And so when you open the word of God, now the good thing is, when you open the word of God because you want faith, minister to your spirit, the word of God knows. And so that faith will minister to you. Right? So He says, remove faithlessness. Be full of faith. Actually, to be born again, you require faith. So every child of God has faith, but that faith has to grow. And it grows when you hear the word. But then we said, it's not enough to hear the word. You must learn to do the word. What's the point hearing stuff you will not do? I mean, some of us have to go through that in school, right? You hear the stuff, you know this is almost obsolete. You're not going to do anything with it. But it's not smart. Are we together?
Yes.
Even though it was compulsory, it's not wisdom. Shows you that quite a lot of non-wise things going on in that university. It's not wisdom. Because they're teaching you stuff they know you would never use, you would never need, so they're wasting your time. But then, when you get to the word, when you listen to the word, what's the point hearing something you would not use? No, Jesus said something. He said, the one who does the word and teaches the word will be called great in the kingdom of God. That's what He said. He said, when you do the word, when you do what you teach, you'll be called great. Now, most people use that for the negative light. They're like, you know, if you hear the word, do it in a sort of hypocritical sense. Do you understand? But no, he was saying that those who do the word that they hear are called great. And in kingdom of God, all right, there are levels. You can compare. There is he that is least in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, he that is least is greater than John the Baptist. So there's one that is least. In Matthew 18, disciples came and said, Master, all right, who's the greatest? And Jesus didn't say, how dare you? You're all equal. No. No. He said, the one who receives the kingdom as a child is the greatest. All right? That's the greatest. But then he says, the one who does the word will be called great. And so it's not enough to hear the word. You must do it. That is when your greatness is revealed. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, so you do the word. When the opportunity presents itself, do the word. Someone says, what if I do the word and it doesn't work? That doesn't mean anything. Well, for the meantime, you might feel it, but it doesn't mean anything. Let me tell you why. When you give birth to a child, and the child is learning to walk, have you ever seen a baby?
Yes.
And they gave birth to that baby, and the baby is now 1 year old, and as they dropped the baby on the floor, it started running. Have you seen such a baby? If you saw that video on the internet, you think it's a toy.
Yeah.
Right? So the baby doesn't just start walk. Even though it has it in him or in her to walk, it falls. Right? Now when the baby falls, does the parent say, fell. We will not put him on the ground again. Is that what happens? The falling is important. Right?
Yes.
It's important. Like it or not, it is. So, at times you're doing the word and you fall. Get back up. Right?
Yes,
and do the word again. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Do the word again. Get back up. You're like a child walking. And you see that baby, you know. And you know, children are very resolute. When that child wants to walk, you know, it has been hungry him. So you put the child on the floor. Even though he falls, you try to get up. Why? Because there is a goal. So the child is not going to be distracted by the little fall. There's a goal. The goal is to start running up and down and scattering everywhere. All right? So there's a goal. So the falling is not going to stop the child. So for your own life, there's a goal. Right? So when you do the word and maybe something happens, don't stop. Do it again. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Do it again. Okay? So we said, faithlessness out of you. Receive the word. When we're done with this camp meeting, the wise ones will go back and study the word. All right? The unwise ones will just remember what happened. And that's the end. But that's not you. Because you're going to go back and you're going to study the word. Then he says, remove perverseness from you. And I didn't really punch on that because of time. All right? But remove things that are perverse. Okay? Be a sincere person. Be honest with yourself. Don't try to pretend. When you catch yourself pretending, call yourself back to order. Because it's possible. Or right? Maybe you get carried away. Okay? Has it ever happened to you before? Maybe while you were in secondary school, that's when all those nonsense things used to happen. And maybe some people were praising you. And all of a sudden, the way you walk begins to change because of the praise. Okay, or maybe something happened and you were praised by the teacher. All right, and so the way you're walking, and then while you're doing that, you fall. That's terrible, right? Okay, so the point is this. At times you can get carried away. But if that happens, call yourself back to order. He says he wants you to shine as lights. Light is that which exposes. Alright? So light exposes that which is wrong. If I come to your house and I'm looking through your books, there are some things I should not find. Are we together? There are some things I should not find. I mean, you're a minister. When we say Christ, we receive the life of Christ, it's not just talking. Alright? It should show. Your life should minister the gospel. So there are some things we should not find with you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. This idea that there's a skeleton in somebody's cupboard is nonsense. It should not be your story. Right?
Yes, Pastor.
Yeah. And the thing is, let me just emphasize on this. Look, you might be listening to me and not care. The thing is this. Deceiving everybody doesn't mean anything. What matters is what God thinks. All right? People might be clapping for you. The Bible says Jesus did not commit himself to men because he knew what was in them. All right? So people might be clapping for you. So even when, you know, you're doing the wrong stuff, the miracles are happening. You're teaching the word. All right? And you're still doing, so you think it doesn't matter, it does. In fact, you're in big problem. The man who does wrong stuff and no miracle happen is safer than the one when he does wrong stuff, miracles happen. Because that one, that is so terrible. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, so be honest with yourself. Are you a Christian?
Yes,
you're a child of God. Yeah, so live that pure life. Are we together?
Yes.
Leave it. Okay? And then we talked about prayer and fasting, spiritual discipline. The truth is, these three things are, there's nothing you're going to teach on being a good minister that will not revolve around these three. All right?
Yes, Pastor.
Really? Okay. So, praying and fasting, that's important too. I was thinking in the morning, I didn't get to share it. How that? What is prayer? When we pray, you just sit down and move your mouth. Isn't that it? So why is it so difficult? Why? Well, it's not indiscipline. Because some people can sit down and talk, gist for hours. They will say, okay, I'm going now. So they escort themselves to the main road, still gisting, escort themselves back, still gisting. And they're moving their mouth too. So, you said?
And that's easy.
That's easy. So why is praying hard?
Satan is angry.
Have you thought about it before? Why is praying hard? Because praying, you know, you can even sit down one place and just move your mouth. And then have visions of the future. Glorious visions that you can control. So why is it so tough? It shows you that what we do is very important. We're not just doing stuff. We are active in the kingdom. So the Bible says the spirit lusted against the flesh and the flesh lusted against the spirit. While you're talking strange stuffs for 5 hours, your flesh is okay. Right? It's okay. You want to continue. But then pray. Move your mouth. If I were speaking tongues, it's easier, isn't it? Move your mouth for 2 hours. At times you pray for 2 hours. You check the time, it's just 10 minutes.
It's all finished.
But you know what? You fight it.
Yes.
You fight it. You win. Some of you have never prayed 1 hour on your own before. Go and put yourself. You know, I'm not going to my message, but you're following me, right?
Yes, Pastor.
As a minister, A.A. Allen. And he was saying how that he wanted the power of God, wanted the power of God. And so he said he was going to fast and pray until God talks to him. So he went into his cupboard and locked it. And he was fasting. And he was praying till it was dinner time. All right? And he smelt his wife's food. He came out and ate. And then felt so bad. Happened so many times. One day he told his wife, that's it. He has to really do this stuff. So he told her, lock me from outside. And don't open till I'm done. So he was gone. Now his mind was ready. Are we together?
Yes.
He was going to stay there. And so he stayed there praying. Guess what? He had a vision. A light appeared in the cupboard. And then God spoke to him. And he got a note and he wrote it. But you see, the point is, it didn't happen so easily. And my theory or my thesis is always, when your flesh is fighting so much, something big is coming. That's my thesis. Alright? When it's so tough for you to pray, pray. 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 Right? Something big is coming. Don't be like Peter and James and John. Always sleeping. Right? Always sleeping. Slept on that Mount of Transfiguration. When Elijah and Moses appeared, Peter got up. See, Peter. Okay, Shola told me that if Peter catches me in heaven, he's going to deal with me. All right? But you see, the point is, he got up and saw a vision, and what came out of his mouth was absolute nonsense. I mean, no, don't try to figure it out. Are we together? Because you can read what he said. Let's make a tabernacle, one for me, one for you. All right, no, one for you, one for Elijah and Moses, and try to interpret it. No, what he said didn't make any sense. He was sleep talking until the cloud came and they became afraid. But he was sleep talking in the presence of glory. And of, you know, the message we listened to this morning said that if you see Jesus, nothing will change. Because he was in the presence. You know, some people think that while I'm praying, if I see an angel, I will pray. Not true. Not true. Don't be moved by feelings. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So fight it. Fight that impulse to stop praying. Why should you stop praying? Praying is important. Why is that when you want to do something important, your body reacts? That means your body needs to be trained. Are we together?
Yes, Pastor.
If you had a dog, and the dog is quiet and very kind, all right? So... well, when your neighbor's children come in, the dog is very kind. Bingo, sit, greet them. Nice dog. All right? But then your CEO comes in and the dog bites the CEO. What do you think the dog needs? Discipline. Firstly, so say death. Hold on, calm down. Calm down. Firstly, calm down. All right? Firstly, you'll be pained that it is now that it is an important person that the demon has entered this door. Right? Same thing with your body. So your body needs death? Is that what you're suggesting? It's PTI. <Yeah. laughs> So the point is win. Are we together? Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't listen. There are people who are always tired. They're never inspired to do serious things. We are praying. We go and sit down. I cannot kill myself. So they're not moving their mouths anymore. All right? They're thinking of something else. Don't be that way. Are we together?
Yes, Pastor.
Don't be that way. When we are praying, pray. Pray. If your body is shouting, let it shout. But pray. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Pray. Win. The one you serve prayed. He fasted. If you plan to fast to 6, don't break by 3. It is things like that that give your body the mastery.
Yes, sir.
So don't break by 3. Plan to fast to 6. 6. Are we together? Some of you are pumped up, so in the morning say, I'm going to fast till tomorrow. 4 p.m. 16 hours out of 24. 8 hours left. And then you start calculating. No, if you plan to fast till the next day, fast. And the words you speak to matter. You can't be saying things like, people that are fasting 3 days, they are trying, no? I can't imagine myself doing it. What are you doing? You're programming your body. Fasting 3 days become difficult for you. So fast 3 days. Some of you have never done it before. When will you do it? Until you get to heaven and find out that it's a criteria for Lekki Side Heavenly Mansion. So fast 3 days without being forced. And you're just listening to the word, listening to the word, listening to the word. Praise the Lord. Because you're a minister. All right? You're an important person. So take yourself seriously. John 3 verse 16. Quickly. That's popular. Popular verse. John 3 verse 16. I just want to repeat some things and then we'll go. And let me just say this. Treat seriously the things God treats seriously. Okay?
Yes.
Whatever God takes seriously, take seriously. And don't make yourself a caricature. There are people who do that because they don't have expectations. So they're like, did I fast 2 days? I'll just die. Huh. It's not. What they're trying to say is, they are trying to ridicule themselves. Do you understand? No, don't do that. You can do it.
Yeah.
Are we together?
Yes,
you can. Someone says, so people used to finish the Bible in a year. They're trying, no? You can do it.
Yes.
Are we together?
Yes,
you can do it. No. You ask some people, since the beginning of this year, how many books of the Bible have you finished? 2.5. Shame on you. Especially if you're a leader. In fact, you can't be a leader. If you're a leader, you're not a leader. 2.5! So what are you doing? Throughout, how many months? 6 months? Maybe. We just read 2 books today. You said? 2 books today. That's what someone says takes 6 months to read. But there's a discipline that comes with leadership. Are we together? So imbibe it. Discipline is simply, this is what I'm going to do, I'm going to do it. No matter what happens. That's discipline. So imbibe it. You should have read all of the New Testament by now. Over and over again. Because there are not plenty. But if you've not done that, what have you been doing with your time? What? How many hours did it take to read the 2 books? 90 minutes. Or less. Okay, someone said 1 hour. 1 hour. Can you imagine that? Why? Let me tell you why. For some of you, you've not done that before. Why can you do it now? Because you must. Are we together?
Yes.
And it's so easy. So, you can do the best. You can be a very serious Christian. Speak like that. Act like that. Don't always go to the caricature side of life. When they are calling on serious Christian, you start walking. No, there's nothing to be happy about with that. When they're calling serious Christian, you bounce out.
Yes.
Because that's your inheritance. That's your portion. Are we together?
Yes, Pastor.
Yeah. You bounce out. Who has finished reading the New Testament this year? Except Revelation. Why? Because, Revelation, I always think, why should I spend so much time trying to decode a book? You know, horn, all of that. Praise the Lord. Okay, John 3 verse 16. Let's look at this. Are you there?
Yes,
it says, for God so loved the world. So loved. You know, when someone says, I so love you, that's a lot of emphasis. And if anybody would know if God loves the world, it should be Jesus. Because it came out from the Father's bosom. Right?
Yes.
Came out from the Father's heart. And so he should know what's there. And so he's the one talking. He says, you can imagine the most popular verse in scripture was said by Jesus. That's great, right?
Yes.
Okay. Verse 16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave. So his love came with action. He gave. He did something about the love. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Right? Says that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So there is something that is available, that when someone believes, all forms of perishing will be eradicated from the person's life. Most people don't know that. But that's the gospel. There is someone that when you believe on him, you should not perish. You should not suffer. You should not go to hell. You should not fall sick. So that means this is the antidote the world is looking for. Right? The cure the world is looking for is right here. Let's go there. It says, for God to love the world, I give his unbegotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever. You know, we have to become practical with the word of God. It says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So that's, if there's an unbelieving lady who is sick and about to die, what's the solution? What will she do to ensure she does not perish? She believes. Is that simple?
Yes.
But it is effective. It says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Another question. If you had a guy who was a cultist, all right, sentenced to death, and he doesn't want to go, what should he do that he should not perish? You see, you have to believe the word of God absolutely in everything. Are we together?
Yes.
Don't have biases with the word. Okay? Believe the word of God absolutely in everything. You can say, but he's a cultist. The arm of justice should grab him. Not true. Because remember, something in a particular message we shared, how that to God, the person who lies, all right?
Yes.
The liar is the same with the murderer. The Bible says if you transgress in one part of the law, you've transgressed in all. So there is no great sin. Do you understand? There is a sin unto death that John talks about. And that means the sin you sin and then you die at the spot. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I know many people try to do that and say it's a spiritual sin. No. As long as you are alive, are we together?
Yes.
As long as you're on this earth, there is nothing that cannot be forgiven. Are we together?
Yes.
Either you believe that or not. And when you don't believe that, you're going to have issues. So as long as you're in this earth, there is forgiveness. But then someone could do something. The guy went to steal and they shot him. What do you want to do? Jesus raised the dead. In Luke 13, they told him about some Galileans, all right, whose blood Pilate mixed with the sacrifice. The Jesus said, Galileans, my people. He was from Galilee, right? My people, let's go and raise them up. Is that what he did?
No.
No! He even gave another example. He said, there are those that the Tower of Siloam fell on. He said, you think they are terrible? He said, if all of you don't repent, you all perish the same way. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So there's a sin unto death. And that one, what can you do? The guy is gone. All right?
Yes.
The guy is gone. But if the guy is still alive, there's something that can be done. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He's able to save to the uttermost. Uttermost. What sin can be so bad that Jesus' death was not good enough for? What sin? None. It was a perfect sacrifice. Are we together?
Yes, Pastor.
Yeah. So it says, so whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I remember Ken Higgins said something. He said how that he died, and while he was going to hell, he went, and then a voice spoke, all right? And hell shook. Spoke, not in English, in a strange language, and hell shook. So demons already came to welcome him into the abode, all right? For the first time. But then hell shook, and they left him, and he came back to his body. And he started shouting for his mom. And he told his mom what just happened. And then he was going again. So he told his mom he's going again. He said his mom went and started praying. She didn't even know how to pray. Do you understand? But then he went again. The same thing happened again. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And while he was going, the demons were there again. And then that voice with a strange language said something. And the place shook. Your God is powerful.
Yes.
Yeah. The place shook. And they left him. And he came up in his body. Then he remembered being born again. All right? And he noted the time because he said that was when he got born again. You know, Ken Higgins, when you listen to him, he knows date and time. Besides, let me just say this. Do you know his accuracy in date and time is only when he preaches?
Yeah.
Do you know? You've not listened to that. He said someone came to ask him, say, how come you are so accurate with dates and time? He says he doesn't know. That once he's preaching, he just sees it. After all, he was the prophet. Do you understand? So that accuracy. But then he was trying to explain for that one why he remembers the time. So now that he had gotten born again, he was going again. He said, then he started shouting that he's born again. Whosoever believed in him should not perish. Should not go to hell. He had believed. So what was he doing there? He said, should not. Not would not. That means you must always remember what your believing has given you. Else you will die like others. You're in that bus and it's about to crash. You don't even need too much scripture. Are we together? All you need to remember is whosoever believeth in him should not perish. They say the boy's about to have an accident. Do you believe in him?
Yes.
Do you believe in him?
Yes.
You should not perish. You come out. Because, you know, many times we have to use so many scriptures. But this is so all-encompassing. Do you understand? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Should not. That means challenges will come that will try to kill you. But remember, you should not. You shouldn't. So when it comes, you remember, I should not. I should not. And you insist and you win. Like that example, how that if you've paid your school fees and the guy who's chasing people out of school doesn't have your record yet, he could come to chase you. But because you have paid your school fees, you should not be chased out. But if you don't even know, he will chase you and you will go. And you lose out. But what if you knew and he came to chase you? What would you do? You insist. You become bolder. Are we together? That business should not fail. That family should not scatter. But there are families that have scattered. And there are businesses that have failed. Why? The power of insisting on the word. Insisting. Say insisting.
Insisting.
Insisting. Listen. Let me tell you something you can do. Learn to shout when things are going tough. Go somewhere where you're alone so they will not stir you. Alright? Go somewhere where you're alone and shout the word. Let me tell you why you're shouting. To drain the voice of opposition in your mind. Are we together? Shout. If things have gotten so bad, go somewhere and just be screaming the word. It'll help you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Should not. So do you have challenges right now? It should not be happening. You should not go down with that challenge. So what are you going to do? Cry? Complain?
No.
Insist. Insist. Talk back to the challenge. Someone says, should I speak to the air? Yes. Yes. God taught Ezekiel how to prophesy. Right?
Yes, that's right.
He said, call the winds. Didn't he? He said, oh ye wind. You know what? The wind heard and responded. So he might have looked crazy, but he was correct. Summon the challenge and win in your territory. Because whosoever, there's a word for your victory. There's a word you can hold on to for your victory. It says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. This is the gospel that we preach. And if you've not been preaching this, you've not been doing it very well. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There is a promise for every human being on this earth to live in victory. The reason why most people don't accept the gospel is because they are suffering. They have challenges. But that is what the gospel offers. a promise to come out of it. So when you go to share the gospel, tell them what it is, what's in there. Praise the Lord. What it entails. Thank you. All right. Tell them what's in it. Okay.
Yes.
Tell them. Tell them. Don't mind those folks that say you're trying to woo people in with nice stuff. Jesus said, the king made a feast. All right.
Yes.
A wedding feast. And he went to call all those who were invited. Call them in. Say, my feast is ready. The party is ready. Let's go. And the Bible says, one by one, they started giving him excuses. One said, I just married. The other one said, I just bought a land. Some beat the servants. Some chased them away. What did the king say? He said, go to the streets and compel them to come. So you should compel them. Are you seeing it?
Yes.
You should compel them. And that's why it is good news. Compelling news. Are we together?
Yes.
Good news. Compel them. So tell them what's in the gospel. And when you believe this message, all right, you should not suffer. It's true. Some people might not like it because they say we should focus on something else. But that does not change the truth. Are we together? When you say you should not suffer, you're not lying. It's the truth. You go and say, I have the solution for help, you know, sickness. You will never fall sick again. Because when you believe this gospel, you should not perish. But it doesn't stop there. John 3 verse 16. Quickly. Almost done. So next time you go to preach to someone, all right? Say, are you born again? Have you believed? If you believe in the Son, you should not perish. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That perishing doesn't stop at hell. You are saved from hell, which is a big deal. But then your life on the earth, you live in victory. There's an assurance of victory for you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right, verse 16. Some people can say, but I had an uncle who was a Christian, and it didn't work. He didn't know. He didn't know. Let me tell you something. Remember that story of the guy who has paid for his school fees?
Yes.
What if he paid, but when he was insisting, the guy who was chasing people brought the records and his name was not there? Would he give up?
No.
Come on, talk to me. Would he give up?
No.
Would he now say, oh, my name is not there? Okay, is that what's going to happen?
No.
As long as he knows, it doesn't matter what the guy brings. He knows what he knows. And he's going to insist. Raise his voice if he has to. That's why I say learn to shout. Raise his voice if he has to. So someone says, but he knew the scripture. He didn't know it well enough. What you really know, you will insist on. Until it becomes the reality.
Yes.
Except you didn't know it or you didn't believe it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Okay, verse 16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have. So he gave us his Son so we could have something. And when you have it, it is yours. Are we together?
Yes.
It is your own. You can do what you want with it, but it's yours. He says, should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is a new kind of life. A new kind of life. And I've been trying to share since how that God really thought the life in this world is not good enough. I thought so. Our plants are alive. I'll soon close, but answer me. Our plants are alive.
Yes.
They have potential. But their potential is at a spot.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that coconut tree. Is it alive?
Yes.
Is it growing?
Yes.
Can it move around?
No.
So its potential cannot move around. It is limited. Are dogs alive?
Yes.
Do they grow?
Yes.
Do they move around?
Yes.
Do they talk?
No.
Can they build things?
No.
So they have potential. That life has potential. All right? But has limitations. So we don't have a dog civilization. Don't mind those cartoons. I try to tell you there's a civilization somewhere that we don't know about. It's a lie. All right? That life. Are human beings alive?
Yes.
Do they have civilization?
Yes.
Have they built stuff?
Yes.
Have they built cars?
Yes.
Do people die based on what they have built?
Yes.
Oh, so you mean with every new thing, there's a problem? Right? So no matter how fine the human life expresses itself, there will always be a problem. Always be a problem. So there's a limitation to that life. No matter how wealthy the man is, the devil is just laughing. All he needs is one. And what is that? Disease that only him has. And the devil is so terrible. There are rich people disease, poor people disease. So when he looks at the guy with money, he throws one that will really take the money. Looks at the guy without money. See how terrible the devil is. Throws one that he keeps going to the pharmacy. But then, no matter how wealthy the guy is or intelligent, there's a limitation. There is. Not to make fun of him, but you know Steve Hawkins, right?
Yes.
He was a paraplegic, right? Do you know him?
Yes.
If you don't know him, it's okay. All right? And he was, because he's late now, he was recognized as one of the brilliant minds of the universe. I don't know what he did. All right? He's just a, he knows calculation and computation that, yeah, cannot boil beans. Okay? But he's celebrated as one of the brilliant minds. But with all of that intelligence, he couldn't move his body. So, great life, but unable to move. He couldn't even talk. Do you know? He had to communicate with, he had to create something that would enable him to communicate. So he writes something or he thinks something and a voice from a system talks. So that's a very intelligent man. But great limitation. Couldn't move. So that life is not good enough. But there is a better life. The life that fights. Do you understand?
Yes.
The life that fights. Human life doesn't really fight. Right? Whatever comes for it, it goes. Pay attention to me. All right? Whatever, if there's malaria, it takes it like that. But there's a life that when you receive, the Bible says you can put to death the deeds of the body. So when disease comes in, that life can kill it. That's the life Jesus brought. That's the best kind of life. When you have that life, you can be intelligent, successful, and the devil thinks we are going to play with your health. Let the problem come. The life will kill it. In fact, once you get born again, death becomes
inefficient.
Yes. We need to focus more on that one of these days. You know, because you know, you get, there are so many good things in God's word that you just start wanting. When will I start meditating fully on that one? The Bible says he brought life, and people believe that eternal life, but that's not all he brought. He brought life and immortality to light.
Yeah.
Immortality. And the Bible says he rendered death inefficient. Inefficient. What a life, right?
Yeah.
What great news. What a life. So for me, death is inefficient. And you know, the truth is, this thing has been there since. It has been there since.
Yes.
The Bible says, no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That means the weapon is what? Inefficient. Inefficient. He didn't tell us what type of weapons. So you have physical weapons, you have spiritual weapons, you have mental weapons. He says no matter the weapon. So this thing has been there since. It's been there since. But he brought it to light through the gospel. Through the gospel. So they want to chuck you knife. Of all the knives in the world, that is the unfortunate knife that at that point decided to be a robber. And when you meditate on these things, it becomes real to you. Right?
Yes.
It becomes real to you.
Thank you, Jesus.
So what a life. Look now, we just moved from the life fighting things to the life not even bothering anymore. We should spend time praying on that, right? We just moved. Did you notice?
Yes.
And we moved in the right direction. Because see, it's God's kind of life. And I know God is not fighting demons. He's not fighting sickness. If the devil tried to throw something at God, inefficient. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So I walk in victory. Praise the Lord. What a life. Oh, grapa kasegere do shatarabaya. Ligra do sukapaka si enong granis. Lego poko sukapaka legra dosh. Legra paka seke. Hey! 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 Amen! Amen! I think I have to start teaching differently. What this means is, if I was sitting in that bus, nothing can happen.
Yes.
That's what it means.
Yes.
So I've moved. Truly, I have entered his rest. Because
yes.
Nothing can happen. Nothing can happen. The bus is moving up and down, but death is inefficient. Nothing can happen. And Jesus has been teaching us this thing since. Listen. Jesus had been teaching us. He said, they shall drink deadly things. And it shall not hurt them. Hold on. He did not say these things are not deadly. They are. They are poisons. But there is something about the child of God. That when poison meets you, it becomes inefficient. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God.
Time is fast, but speak in other tongues. Just speak in other tongues. Oh.